This morning we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Proverbs, chapter 8. Now, if you remember last week, I had started in this chapter and we continue to study on wisdom. We had started in James and he asked a question, who among you are endued with wisdom? And more or less he's asking, who is it that is a professional at the skill of living in righteousness? That's what we're looking for, amen? We're looking for people that are following the Lord and growing in grace, growing in His goodness, and be a display, if you will, an example of godly wisdom. And so we went to a lot of extent of deciding what is worldly wisdom and what is godly wisdom. And James took us through that. What does godly wisdom look like in the church? And so we covered that in a couple sermons, and then when we come to chapter 8, we get into chapter 8, and we're looking at the excellency of wisdom, and last week that's what we had covered. We find out that wisdom is calling out to all of us. Isn't it wonderful that we come to the realization it's not just an intellect, I have to be on a certain intellectual level, but rather God is calling us that we might receive a wisdom of heart, right? If our heart is right with God and we're open to Him and submitted to Him, then He pours out His wisdom into our hearts and into our lives. So today, we're following up with verses 12, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. And I'm going to try to get through the end of the chapter, okay? So buckle up, get your pens ready. I'm going to try to encapsulate all of this. The first part, we're going to talk about the counsel of God's wisdom. Then we're going to talk about the wisdom, the person, and then last, we're going to finish it up with wisdom's invitation. So let me start reading, if you will, in verses 12 through 21 to get us started. If you'll follow along in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. As we start today, I want us to look. He says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. You know that discretion is telling us having the ability to discern wicked plans and wicked devices. God gives us the ability to see through the things that Satan is trying to present, to see through the things that the world wants to set up as, we can't believe that you don't accept these things, but yet it draws us farther and farther away from God, right? There's many things that are labeled today with a label called Christianity, which is not. And so we have to go back to the Word to determine what is real, what is true. What is effective, right? We get presented a lot of things that seem to be better. Isn't that what the whole our economy is based on, is buying more, bigger, better, faster? And inevitably, they'll always put something out, a little gadget, and then next year, it's got one more gadget to the gadget. So, oh, I really like that gadget. I just need that one more thing. It's going to be better. It's going to take care of all those little problems. You know, I got tickled, and I was talking with one of our youth, and you're going to know exactly who it is. We was talking vacuum cleaners, and this vacuum cleaner has this, but the new bottle, the one I have, it's got lights all the way around it, and it's able to do this and this and this. And I'm telling you, he needs to be a salesman. He'd be really good. I was wanting to buy one. After I was like, what kind is it? I need one. But you know, we like gadgets, but often the world presents things to us that we just think, oh, this is going to be it. And we walk away disappointed every time. But God says, come to me and I will show you. Wisdom dwells with prudence. We find out knowledge and discretion. Now, verse 13, Sometimes we need to understand what fear of the Lord and what wisdom does not do. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, the very beginning of this book, it says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So then, if you're like me, sometimes I'm thinking, well, okay, the fear of the Lord, and well, that seems deep. There's a lot there. Yes, there is a lot there. But many times that fear is being used in the Old Testament as keeping the things of God, drawing them close, trusting in them, knowing them, understanding them. So he tells us what the fear of the Lord does not do. It does not do evil, right? In fact, it hates evil. It hates pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. How is it that we can draw nigh to God when all of those things are in the way? Amen? The arrogant heart, the pride, is never going to come to God and admit, God, we need you. I desperately need you. And so all of these things that he hates is actually what keeps us from him. He says, I want them out of the way. I want my children to be with me and near me. So when we look at these, verse 14, that was my first point, the counsel of wisdom. Look what he says. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I love it when he gets just right down to it. He says, I don't know about it. It's not that I'm just theorizing, but I am understanding. Now, I'm pointing at me, and you realize I'm talking about God, right? God says, I am understanding. I have strength. You know, so many times we live in a day and age that we seek people. We seek counsel from individuals. And when we get together, we talk about things that we understand and have experienced by trial and error, right? But we come to God and we talk about things that he is and has done and will do perfectly, not by trial and error, but he is perfection. He is truth. He is understanding. He is all wisdom. If there's anything that could be conceived that is true and good, it has come from the God who gives every good and perfect gift. Amen? That's where it comes from. And so he says, I call you, come, I have counsel, but yet also I have sound wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, now I'm going to encourage you to read the whole chapter. Don't do that now, but in Proverbs chapter 2, it kind of gives us a definition of what is that sound wisdom. Verses 6 through 9, I kind of just took us here right in the middle. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Sometimes I look at that last verse, and isn't it interesting that we as a society are so desperately trying to create equality while denying different people groups, by fighting against different people groups, by fighting against this and that, when in reality, if we want equity, we want things to work, we want things to be able to find justice and righteousness, where do we got to go? To the God who gives counsel to achieve. Amen? The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You know, as I was sharing with you this morning, as I'm giving you scripture verse and Bible verses to look and consider, in all honesty, what could be said better from this pulpit or anywhere else, what could be better said than me simply just reading the words of truth and God's counsel? And in fact, I think probably sometimes the more I explain, the more I get away from the actual meat of what God is wanting us to hear. And that's why I so desperately want you to go back home and study. And I'm going to tell you why. Because first of all, how is it that God imparts that wisdom to us today? He does throw, first of all, through his word. In Psalm 119, verse 24, he says, "Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Now, the book of Psalm 119 actually goes through the Hebrew alphabet, describing the Word of God and the value of it and all that it does. And when he refers to the testimonies, it's talking about the very Word of God. It is his delight, and it is my counselors. Think of that for a moment. Sometimes we always think that someone else is going to be my counselor, but God says, I want to be your counselor. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you in every detail of your life. I want you to think about this. We so often seek counsel from pastors and therapists or whatever it may be, a friend, and we have to set up an appointment. Sometimes that's tough enough, isn't it? Well, how does your schedule look like? Well, I'm not free. Well, I'm free Monday. I'm not free Monday. How about Tuesday? Well, that's completely out. I've got this and I got that. The kids have this. But think of this. The counselor is able to come to you at any moment in the middle of the night when we're struggling with the most difficult news that we received, or concerns over a loved one, or concerns over a child. The counselor comes and meets us immediately at our moment of need. Amen. The counselor comes when we got our Bible open and we're at our lunch break at work and we're reading from his word. He's ready to counsel and to guide and direct. Everywhere that we go, no matter where we are, the counsel is there and he's available. Have you ever thought of reading God's word not just as your daily responsibilities and duties, but yet the God of all gods, the King and the Creator, has come to spend time with you and I. Secondly, he imparts his counsel to us by the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now, when we read this, Isaiah is actually prophesying of the Lord Jesus that is to come, and he describes the great power that Christ will have and the Spirit of God that is working in and through him perfectly. Once again, I remind you that as we talk with one another, we counsel together, we talk about things that we've experienced by trial and error. Here we go to the one who knows perfectly and has done so perfectly. And so he's ready to apply it to our lives. He does so with power. He does so with knowledge. He does so that he understands the fear of the Lord. He understands all these things and he makes them happen within us. So not only are we receiving the counsel of God, now we receive the Spirit of God that empowers us to follow and obey and to understand what he has for us in a daily living. So then, thirdly, through the life of his Son, in 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought him also to walk just as he walked. So now we've gone from hearing the counsel and instruction, being empowered to do and to follow, and now we've been given an example, a perfect example of Jesus to follow him. Amen? Isn't it great to follow example? I don't know about you, but for me to learn, you can hand me all kinds of books, and I'll try to read, and I'll try to understand it, but if I can't apply of why I'm reading this and where it's going to fit, it's hard for me to put them together. But as soon as I watch someone hands-on, they're doing it, they're putting it together, it's like, okay, now that makes sense. Now I understand why we have to do that. Now I understand why we have to understand this. Do you know what, my friend? We have to have hands-on experience with the Lord Jesus, don't we? How is it that the first epistle of John, he starts out, "We have seen and heard, and with our hands we have handled of the Lord Jesus." He's talking about hands-on experience. My friend, the counsel that we seek of God, we must have the hands-on experience of following the Lord Jesus and understanding who he is. Wisdom, the person, the personification of the Lord Jesus, is the source of wisdom. In John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was nothing was made that was made." Now, in our text, in Psalm 22 through 31, it begins to describe that wisdom is present. And folks, I believe that this is, wisdom is personified in the very person of Jesus. In verse 22, he starts with this. He says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I've been established before or from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no foundation abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he has not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle upon the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the foundations of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men." You know, we can see the love that God has for us, even in the creation, with this same wisdom that was present, the same wisdom that was used to create the world and all the things that are in it. In all honesty, I think that is why we are in such a battle to defend Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. That's the necessity of understanding the wisdom of God, even in creation. And I believe that's why it's under such heavy attack today. Well, Pastor, why can't we mingle evolution with Christianity? Because it diminishes the creative power of God. It diminishes the very existence of God, if you will. And so, folks, when we understand, as the book of Hebrews says, that we know and understand by faith that God has created all things, it is something that we entrust in God. Do you believe in the book of Revelation, written by an individual, John, on the Isle of Patmos, as he writes of the end of all times before they come? And yet all of his writings agree with Zacharias and Ezekiel and Daniel, and they all come together so perfectly. We rejoice in his return. Did you know that Moses didn't write the events of creation until during the time that Israel, Hebrew people, were coming out of Egypt, thousands and thousands of years after creation? So is it any harder to understand that it's by faith that we understand that his word is true? That same power in all of creation is the same power that works in us today. The same power that we come to and we seek counsel for decisions, whether they're great or small, we come to the great power of God, that he will help us and guide us to live skillfully, successfully, and obedient to him. Amen. That source of true wisdom is Jesus himself. Let me give you a few verses and why that I believe that in Proverbs 8 that he's talking about the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." All that we know, all that we see of the Father has come, and it has been instructed by the Lord Jesus as he walked upon this earth. He has instructed us in the righteousness of God as no one else had ever done before. Do you remember the testimony of many as he spoke and he taught in the synagogues? And they say, how is it that he speaks with such great authority? And in fact, at times they even looked and said, is this not Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph? How is it that he gets these words of wisdom? These are all testimonies of the reality of who Jesus is and the express understanding, not only just the image of God, but also the wisdom of God. In Colossians chapter 2, we see in verse 1, he says, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you, and that those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." This is Paul. He says, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You realize that in the Old Testament, there were many mysteries, if you will. There were many mysteries that were hard to understand and simply were not explained until the Lord Jesus came to fulfill those prophecies, to fulfill and faithfully live by the law perfectly, and establishing all of these things, the plan of salvation, the forgiveness of sin, and then redemption to bring us back to the Father, which the law could not do, but Jesus has accomplished today. Amen? All of this, all of these hidden in the Lord Jesus. Isn't it interesting that he uses verbiage that as believers, as children of God, that he hides us in himself. Jesus hides us within him. There is a positional grace for us to understand, is that those who are born of God are found in Christ. You see, it not only explains our daily living, it doesn't only explain the salvation that we receive in and through him and because of him, but it also describes that while we are there, we are in an intimate relationship that continues to grow in understanding of who he is. And as we dwell there, as we live there, and we grow, we begin to understand a deeper understanding that leads us to greater fellowship, to greater understanding, to greater faithfulness, and more than that, to be a greater example to those that are around us. Why is it so important? Why do we desperately need men and women that are ready to grow in true wisdom? We need to see the skill of God working in and through the Lord's church today. The world needs to witness that. Let me show you here in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I've kind of mushed together, if you will, about four or five verses. He says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I could almost preach a message just on that, but I'm hoping you'll go home and read it, and you'll study that and see the excitement of victory and power that we have working in each and every one of you. But can I remind you once again that Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. This is the working of the local New Testament church. Lindsay Lane, this is what we should be growing in on a daily basis. You know, as Pastor Mike reminded us of the cross, the old rugged cross song, that excites my heart. That a hymn that we have been singing for so many years, it all started in a local New Testament church. Too often we think that many things that we achieve, and it takes a big church, it takes a big budget, it takes a big to-do, it takes all of this and that. Can I impress upon you that God has chosen to show his wisdom and to exercise his wisdom through the power of salvation in and through you? You. We think, oh, Lord, there's got to be someone better than me. I'm sure there may be. But God is calling you. Wisdom is calling you. Remember, he wasn't looking for the most intelligent. He was even calling, actually she, as I should say in Proverbs 8, she is calling to the simple, even calling to the fool that has rejected God. God is calling and saying, you can be made right. We can adjust. We can save. We can give you life, is the message of God. And folks, how will they know that if they don't see the Lord's church living this out? Living in the victory that has been given to us. Living and exercising a love that passes knowledge. How do you explain it? Many times I think we miss the opportunity in trying to explain how much we love one another, how much we love Christ, instead of just going right to the cross and say, this is the explanation of love, that a perfect and holy God has died for a sinful, rebellious, hateful people. You know, it's one thing to know each other, right? We can say, oh, I love so-and-so, and we know a little bit about them, but a lot of things we don't know about them, right? But then when you go to your family gathering, and you're like, I'm sick of them. You know why? Because you know a lot about them, and they know a lot about you. It's kind of hard to love somebody when you know all their faults and dark little secrets. And you know, when Jesus went to the cross, he knew every irritating, sinful, hateful, evil thing about us, and he loved us anyway. Wisdom's invitation, verses 32 through 36. I want us to visit this. Now, therefore, listen. Oh, it sounds like my dad talking. Listen to me. Have you ever heard that from your parents? Talking to your kids? You're trying to get a point across. Their eyeballs are going all over. When are you going to stop talking? What do you say? Listen to me. Now, this word listen in Hebrew is the Shema. Not only is God saying, I want your ears to be working, but I want you to listen with your heart, to hear intelligently, to be attentive, obedient. So are you listening to me? Not just your ears working, but is your heart working? Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Isn't that wonderful? Just the fact that how he addresses us. It could be, listen to me, you little rat. I would deserve that. But that's not how the Lord feels of us, right? Oh, my child, please listen to me. For blessed are those who keep my ways. You ever wonder what happened to all the joy in my life? What happened to the peace? Where are we, folks? Where are we in our closeness to the Lord? Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise. Wonder where I got the title of this message? You found it. Hear instruction. Now, the word instruction, you just think, okay, it's just a bunch of instructions and rules and things that he's written down. No, no, no. But the word instruction actually means it is correction by way of chastening or even discipline. I don't like that as much. Do you? But can I admit to you that those were the most valuable lessons? You realize that we don't learn much when it doesn't cost us anything. Would you agree? We forget it very quickly. But when it costs us something, well, remember that one. The instruction that comes by way of chastening or discipline, wisdom's ways are always profitable to us, but not always are they comfortable. Are you with me? So verse 33, I'm going to read it again. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Do not turn away when wisdom is trying to have his way with you. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at the gates, waiting at the post of my doors. He says, watching daily, it might even be being awake, fully alert, even sacrificing sleep to stand watch to make sure that nothing is missed. Waiting at the post of my doors. And verse 35, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. Those who hate me love death. Well, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? Those who hate me love death. Are we sinning against our own soul? Are we bringing wrongs upon ourselves by not following the wisdom of God? When he says, those who sin simply means to miss the mark or the goal. To reject wisdom is to do violence to our own soul and our own life, even to the point of bringing death, compromising the very existence of the individual. These are strong warnings, aren't they? But folks, I think it is more important than ever before. When your pastor begs of you, spend time in the Word. Did you know today there are more Christian books written than ever before? But can I assure you, some are valuable, a multitude are not. And sometimes as we read those books, you know, I have noticed it as I go back and I'll read a book and they'll say, we based these thoughts and ideas upon, and they write the book. It's an old classic. You know what my tendency is? It's like, that was a good book. I want to read the original. I want to go back. So you go back into the old writings and you break out the old original. And when you read the old original, you know what they do? They go back to the Word. They go back to the Word. They go back to the Word. They push you in discipline. They push you in repentance. They push you and push you and push you. Don't get comfortable here. Go back to the Word. You know why? Because we all understand the reality. It's that wisdom comes from the mouth of God, not fanciful books, not fanciful degrees, not fanciful this or that or whatever it may be. Now, my friend, I am telling you, you need to pursue an education. You need to pursue and be skilled in working and abilities upon this earth. Do not take that out of context. But my friend, if you neglect the study of God's Word, the application of God's Word, being transformed by the Word of God, then what is the value of it all without Christ? Just read the book of Ecclesiastes and he'll give you a long discourse of the vanity of life without God. As believers today, are we taking every opportunity to avail ourselves to God's wisdom? Do we need to study the Scriptures more consistently? Are we maintaining a closeness of relationship with Christ and then turning around and submitting to the control of the Holy Spirit? While these are keys to a practical day-to-day living, the question is are we doing so wisely? Sometimes we feel as though we can passively sit by and eventually, somehow, mysteriously, we're going to absorb this wisdom that we need, thinking that I don't need to understand how to handle, to study, to discipline, or direct my thoughts or attitudes. And yet the Word of God warns us just the opposite, that we do need to come brokenheartedly. Do you remember it's the pride that he hates, the proudful arrogance that drives us away from God? Are we willing to put all that aside today and just simply admit, God, we are in desperate need of your wisdom? Church, are we willing to admit to God that, God, we need leaders today that are filled with your wisdom, that are filled with all the fullness of God, that can come and be an example for us? And God, are you calling me to be that one to lead? Now, I might have had you in the first part of that, but maybe you cringe and said, oh no, it's got to be somebody else, Pastor. Child of God, I think you'd be surprised of what God is trying to do and willing to do if you would just submit to him today. I'm going to ask you, child of God, are you tired of playing games? Are you tired of being passive? Are you tired of just simply not finding the purpose and the joy of what we're supposed to be doing? And why? Is it time that we could enter into a journey to come and counsel with the Lord and get things straight and get them right in our hearts and our minds so that we can be used? I don't know if you've noticed, church, but around us in our community, we are suffering from a dilemma of a lack of leaders, those who are actually willing to do the work of the ministry and to take on the difficulties of ministry. You know why? Because we're not following the wisdom of God. Church, I don't believe leaders just show up out of the blue. I don't think we look to other churches and try to capture leadership from other churches to get leadership here. My friend, according to the Bible, leadership grows from within. And so often we think that, well, there's got to be someone else smarter or better. Well, if you're going to go on that auspice, I'm telling you right now, you could have a lot better pastor than what you have. But for now, God's called us here. He's called us to work and serve together, so that's what we're going to do, amen? So then, since I am called here to work and to serve, I'm asking you, have you considered your calling of what God is calling upon your life? I'm asking you to consider these questions that I presented to you today. I want you to take them home. Maybe one has pricked your heart in just a little way. Maybe you don't want to talk to me about it today, but I'm asking you that you're going to take counsel with God this week. And you're going to talk about that one thing that has challenged your heart today. You're going to take these Bible verses and you're going to search and find answers, find depth, that we may know the love of Christ. This is going to be our dismissal prayer. I want to thank each and one, everyone, for coming today. And I pray that the Word of God has challenged you. Challenged you enough that you'll go and you'll seek his word this week and come back again next week, that we may come back and do this again in the presence of the Lord for his honor and glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your counsel. Lord, you have covered every avenue of our need for salvation. You have covered every area that we have been forgiven. You've covered every area that we can be redeemed and brought back to a right relationship with God. You've even empowered us with your Spirit to not only help us be right, but keep us right. Then you give us your word that we can study on a daily basis. You sent your Son to be an example that we can follow. So, Lord, we have all of this before us. May we come and find the counsel that we desperately need. Help us to live in the victory that has already been purchased. We're not striving for victory, but we're living from victory of the empty tomb. It's already there, waiting for us to come and to seek you. And Lord, thank you for giving us that promise that those who will seek you will find you. Lord, help us to find you. Help us to start that journey. Lord, if there are some of your people here today, they know that there's a next step of faithfulness to you. They know that there is something else that they need to commit to you, whether it be leadership, faithfulness, or just simply living a life of victory instead of defeat. Lord, I pray that they will follow you today. Make that right, that your church may grow and be strengthened, and that we will bring you honor and glory in this community that we are responsible for. The generation that we must share the gospel of Christ, may we be found faithful. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.